kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
A title today for our teaching, and we're calling this God Has Purposed a Remnant to Believe. God has purposed a remnant to believe. And I trust that this will be of encouragement, because many times we battle whether we are part of his remnant. Am I going to make it in? My life hasn't looked too good this week. I've sinned badly with the tongue. You know it all. Some are nodding your heads. It's all so familiar. But you know, God also wants to encourage us that, as I say so often, God doesn't make a mistake. Trust me. And I want to base this from an encouraging bit in the scriptures, Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. And of course, we are experiencing the outpouring. We're beginning to see now the latter rain coming forth. We've seen the former and now the latter rain. But look what God says here in verse 32 of Joel 2. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. And as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. So we quite clearly see that through this evil age that we live in, when it would seem impossible that anyone would respond to God in the right heart and spirit, that is, God has purposed a remnant to be saved. Why? Because God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he knows that there is nothing new under the sun. And so we can take great comfort in this, that God has purposed a remnant to come forth. You see, through God's word, we have seen that God has preserved a remnant for himself. And we see this quite clearly with the fall of Adam and Eve. What did God do? He provided a covering, which God has to do. He has to cover us now. And there is preservation. Is it not? Noah called of God to prepare an ark and prophesy for 120 years, and only a few souls were saved, but there is a remnant preserved. What was the preserving factor of that time? It was the ark. So look how diverse God works in preserving. Abraham, called of God and his family to walk by faith. God preserving this man in his walk. Moses, called of God to call a nation out from bondage. And what was their preservation? It was the wilderness. You couldn't work that out in a million years. You see, I'm trying to describe to you how God preserves us. And it is a miracle. It's miraculous how he does it, you see. And we can look at all the saints of old, Joshua, Caleb, Samuel, David, Elijah, Elisha, all of them being preserved by God. And I'm reminded of Daniel and his three companions. Look how God preserved them and the method in which he did it, you know. And it just goes on and on. And now we have seen the preservation for the world. And it had to take Jesus Christ to preserve us through the blood that he shed upon the cross, you see. That is why the enemy didn't want him to go to Calvary, because he's seen enough how God works miraculously in saving, preserving life, a remnant to himself. And we see right through the New Testament how God preserved Paul, preserved Timothy, preserved the disciples and so forth, because they had a job to do, to proclaim the gospel, a message to give. And that doesn't change through every generation. Even though the enemy has tried to attack the body of Christ, that principle doesn't change. And this is why it is so important to pray for the laborers, as we have been told to pray. The harvest is there. Pray for them, but don't just pray. Pray that God will equip them. Pray that God will separate them from the world, from worldliness. Pray that God will get them to walk and teach a message of total faith, and that they will know the anointing from on high. You see, it's not enough just to rattle off a prayer. We have to go deeper with God in our prayers and intercessions, praying for this. And then we will begin to see breakthroughs and so on. The same as I value your prayers. As I've said so often, this church goes as forward as the saints get behind it. And the preaching and the teaching and others that God's raising up in this body. So we need to be saints of prayer. The body of Christ needs to be a house of prayer. To pray these things. What for? Because God has preserved a remnant. So take courage. There is seed to be brought in. There is this seed of the word to be sown in hearts by the anointing of the word. And the enemy is so subtle, so clever. He knows these things. But sadly, the house of God doesn't really know it as it should, because sadly, the word is not being preached as it should. So you see, our faith is vital to be worked on, to believe as God's remnant. Are you settled on that? Do you believe by the mercy and grace of God that I am part of God's remnant? You can. Why would God put it there? Why would he put it here in Joel? It is something to hold on to. It's a promise, like all the rest of the promises of God, that praise God, I'm a part of his remnant. So the question is, why a remnant? Why not the whole world? It's God's desire that none should perish. But God is not stupid. God knows all things. He knows man's heart. He created and made him. But why a remnant? Well, you can read it in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 to 10, which you know well. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's just remind ourselves again, when you're doubting and you're battling, and we do, and the enemy gets so vocal, he tries, doesn't he? Just look at this, for by grace. Because if it's not grace, give up. It's hopeless. Nobody has a chance. But this is God's grace and mercy that has been saved through faith. That's why I always say there has to be even that mustard seed for a sinner to repent. That faith has to be implanted there, else they will never believe. So through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So your believing today, my believing today, is the gift of God. Why? So that nobody boasts in any of this. I believe, I have the faith, because it is the mercy and grace of God. He has granted me this gift to believe. But it doesn't stop there, does it? And then he goes on, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ. Now, of course, the apostle has used the workmanship type of thing because, of course, Christ, in his profession, he had a profession, he was a carpenter. And we know that carpentry creates. It makes tables, chairs, things of use. So there's this idea of a workmanship, God creating. The idea, of course, the potter and the clay. God working with his hands. So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Everything has to be created in him, because he was there. He created the heavens and the earth for good works. They have to be works that are acceptable to God. They are not your works. They are not good ideas. They're not good intentions. They're not sitting down and planning, what shall we do for God? And so we shall have a plan A. And if that doesn't work, we shall have a plan B. Have you heard it all? Yes. That's what goes on so often in the house of God. No. They are Christ works, being created and worked in us. It is his handiwork, working in you and I to produce works that glorify him. And we've got it all round the wrong way. You may say to yourself, well, I don't seem to be doing much for God, or whatever it is. Well, wait on him. Wait on him. Have that expectation in your heart that God is going to work through me his works for his glory, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So your works, your good works that glorify him, has been prepared, has been foreordained. It has been established even before the foundation of the world, because you always were. There never was a time when you were not in his mind and heart and thinking. And there will come a time, because he has created time for us, that they will be manifested. Can I say that the idea of this, God's manifestation, is being seen today in this meeting, and those saints that have come online, that is why it is not a mistake. It is not by chance or by an accident. God has decreed it. God has brought us together, whether you're online or here in this place. You are here because God chose you to be here. Now that becomes awesome. You don't start messing about with God. You don't start deciding, well, what I am going to do. This is why we give our life over to God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We present ourselves as that living sacrifice, and he takes up the rest, and he works his works for his glory through you and I, which means our meetings, our gathering together, the gifts that he has set into the church, as well as the gifts that he's working through each one of us, and the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher. All for the working of the church, the working of ministry. so that the works of God are seen through us for his glory. That is how it works, brothers and sisters. And that is why we have to get out of the way. We decrease that he increases. It is called the cross that we too take up daily and follow Christ. The cross deals with the self-life, my selfish life that gets in the way of Almighty God. There cannot be two on a throne. You have to decide who is on this throne. Is it the throne of self, me, or is it the throne of Almighty God in my life? You have to choose that. You have to decide that. The pastor, the preacher, the teacher, whoever, he can't do that for you. He can present it, but you have a choice in that. And that is the way we're to walk. And that is really what the apostle is bringing up here. He's showing us by faith how faith works. Faith works when we let go. Faith works when we get out of the way. Faith works when we allow the Holy Spirit to deliver our mind and renew our mind by the Spirit and by the Word of God. That's how he does it. And he will continue to do it, you see. And so that's why we have in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, all the saints' history, the remnant that he had, all experiencing walking with Almighty God. And we see with the nation of Israel that there is also today a spiritual remnant that he will reap and bring in right at the end. So even though Israel is temporarily put to one side, which the apostle reveals to us in Romans 11, it is only there temporarily. But he will restore, but it will be a remnant. Why a remnant? Because most of the world is going to be judged. It will be judged also at Armageddon. And so we have to keep these things into perspective, how God is going to work. In Elijah's time, Elijah thought he was the only one, didn't he? He said, I've got news for you. I've got more that are preserved and sealed. You're not the only one. And there are times when we feel we're the only one, don't we? We think, well, how many are there? You know, wouldn't it be lovely just to go out in your job or at your work or at your leisure or at shops and meet someone where you've got such a oneness and a unity. I mean, I long for that sometimes, just somebody I don't know. But of course, it doesn't happen very often. But God has a remnant to himself. And that remnant didn't bow their knee to Baal. The same as the remnant won't bow their knee to religion, Baalism, Catholicism, the harlot. We're separated from it. Hallelujah. How about when Israel went into captivity into Babylon? God preserved the prophets, Ezekiel, Mordecai, Daniel, and so on. There was a remnant. A remnant in Babylon. God was going to bring that remnant back out and rebuild again a temple of worship. There is a remnant because the powers of darkness trying to destroy Israel. And it's no different. The powers of darkness today are still trying to destroy Israel with all the world's support for the Palestinians. And I'm not saying what the Israel is doing is right to the Palestinians. That's what's so sad about it. But we have to go to the Word of God, what God promised to Abraham and to his seed. And that the land does belong to them. It is. But God would be merciful. There were even those who were looking for redemption in Jerusalem. Did you know that? Before Messiah came, there was a remnant still believing, because most of Israel had gone back. 400 years they were without a prophet or a teacher or whatever it is. It was a dire time in the history of Israel. But turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 38. Luke chapter 2 and verse 38. And this is where Anna bears witness to the Redeemer. And it says here in 38, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to him, to all those who looked for the redemption in Israel. There is a remnant preserved. She believed. She was seen by faith. It was revelation. And God was shortly to then send Messiah and so on. Now, in the church age, there was a remnant that was believing. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans 11. Romans 11 and verses 4 to 5. 4 to 5 of Romans 11. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even to them at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then there is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace, but it is of works. It is no longer grace. Otherwise, works is no longer work. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. And it goes on what is written, and so on. There we are. A remnant. Every time we see this, all the time. You see, there is a remnant to this day. And that's why we have the prophecy of Joel. We would doubt it if there was anything today standing. But the prophecy of Joel, which we read back in Joel 2:32, tells us that there is a remnant in this last day. Because I will pour out my spirit on flesh, which is happening. So this is why you can take comfort, brothers and sisters, whatever it looks like. And it looks dire. It looks as though nobody is interested. Nobody wants to hear. It just seems as though I'm the only one. You know, we hear all about it and so on. But let's remind ourselves that we are ordained to this, to believe. God has decreed this over your life and my life. And it's going to happen. Whatever you think, whatever mood you have on, or how you've fallen out with God, or whatever it would be, and we do it, you aren't going to change him, because he knows what he's doing. Trust me, he does. Hallelujah. Hi. Mighty Lord. Hi. And so we see another confirmation that God has a remnant, which is connected with Joel 2:32, and you know it well, Revelation 12, the man-child, that group of believers that has come forth out of the woman, who will be manifested in the last days, Romans 8, to release groaning creation. There is a remnant again unto himself. And we know this. How about in the time of tribulation? We see in Revelation 7. I know you know these well, but we need to just remind ourselves of all of this. Revelation 7, verses 3 to 8. where God has got a remnant. This is the sealed of Israel, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard a number of those who were sealed, 144,000, all of the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. And there you can read all those tribes of Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi. And so it goes on. All of those 12 are sealed, that 144. There again is a remnant to believe. What does it say in verse 17? For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So God is going to shepherd them. He's going to lead them, this 144,000, to open their eyes to see that they rejected their Messiah, that he was Messiah, he was the true living God. They're also going to be cut to the core because their ancestors have lied to them and said he wasn't. But look how God does it. And they're going to be a special group of saints who will go through martyrdom. Again, they are preserved. Revelation 6, 9 to 11. This is found under the fifth seal. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And then a white robe was given to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So God is bringing, preserving a remnant out of tribulation, great tribulation, as the Antichrist now is making war against the saints. Yes, some are going to have to go through martyrdom, but martyrdom is still preserving them. That is the way they go, and that is a gift. So God will prepare that heart. Trust me. And so let's turn to Zechariah. Zechariah, and see what he has to say. Last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah 12 and verse 6. And what does he say? In that day I will make the governors of Judah like the fire pan in the woodpile, and like the fiery torch in the sheaves, and they should devour all the surrounding people on the right hand and on the left. But Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, Jerusalem. So there God is going to preserve and keep that capital, Zion. All the rest of the nations, they're going to be judged. Many of them will be displaced. There won't be the cities and what was known or whatever. Most of it will be judged, flattened by the seals and by the vials, the wrath of God pouring out. The landscape will be completely different the time when Christ comes to rule and reign. But Jerusalem will still be there. Why? Because it's preserved. Preserved. Hallelujah. What does it say in chapter 13 and verse 9 of Zechariah? I will bring the one third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. And they will call on my name, and I will answer them. And I will say, this is my people, And each one will say, the Lord is my God. Again, a preservation, preserved. Thank God that he does this. Well, let's finally come to an end with this, with Isaiah. What does Isaiah have to say? Isaiah 46, Isaiah 46 and verses 12 to 13. Isaiah 46 and verses 12 to 14. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, you who are far from righteousness. I bring my righteousness near, and it shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Because God made covenant with the patriarchs, and he doesn't break his promise. God will, in their stubbornness of heart, rebellion, he will bring them back and he will meet with them, whether they like it or not. That is how God is, that's how determined God is. So it's interesting, isn't it, that we look at this preservation and God continues this work of preservation. He continues to work preservation, everything that he's created, the heavens and the earth, it is created, it is preserved and it's kept, even though the stars are not clean in his sight, the Bible tells us. Israel, we've just shown you, is preserved and kept. The scripture, the word of God, is preserved and kept, unlike any other Bible. Your soul is preserved and kept. Praise God. Because of election. Even in judgment, God's still preserving. Even in his mercy, he pours rain on the just and the unjust. Even the unjust is still preserved for a reason. They are sadly, a lot of the unjust, preserved for judgment. That is awesome. So God hasn't sat back after 6 days of creating and on the seventh day, well, that's it, I'm finished, I've done my job. No. Not at all. He's still working. Working today, working now, this moment. He doesn't stop. Hallelujah. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. God has purposed a remnant to believe. Praise his name. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are on the throne. Lord, forgive us when we doubt. Help us just to go back and be reminded of what we've heard today and in the scriptures. And Lord, you have preserved, you have kept us. Lord, there are many times we have seen in our lives when the enemy has tried to destroy us or tried to deceive us or trick us or draw us away in unbelief and in sin. But Lord, you're always one step ahead, and we want to thank you for this. We want to praise you and worship you, Lord, because you first loved us. May we never forget this, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
For he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Yes, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his doors with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. collector his troubles with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Yes, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
He's made me glad.
He has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus.